Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
I mean, honestly, I don't even care who's out there. I'm looking forward to whooping their ass either way.
With your hosts, Dan Wiederer.
What's the reason to duck?
It's here. There's no reason to duck.
And Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
What is happening, everybody? Welcome into the Take the North podcast along with Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune. I am Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And Dan, we are in the midst. Oh, are we in the midst of a Bears head coaching hiring process, which is getting picked apart from every single possible angle. But here we are. Ben Johnson has been interviewed. Aaron Glenn has been interviewed. Pete Carroll, Anthony Weaver, Drew Petzing. Ron Rivera. Am I missing any? Thomas Brown was interviewed today as well.
You might be missing someone. This is the thickest midst I've ever been within, to be quite honest with you. And so, we're in it. We're in it right now, and we're watching it unfold, evolve, all of those things. And again, as we've said since the outset, the Bears aren't the only one doing this right now. And so, developments that happen elsewhere, say perhaps New England, say perhaps Dallas, they all have a little bit of a ripple effect on what happens here in Chicago as well.
They do. That said, let's get right into it. Let's get to our opening drive.
It's time for the opening drive.
We are here in the opening drive. Well, Dan, Mike McCarthy is out in Dallas, so he is open for the Bears to interview Mike McCarthy while in Dallas, 49-35. The problem with him, I suppose, was the postseason where he was 1-3, and there certainly were some jarring moments personally for Mike McCarthy with some of that management. We all remember him from his Green Bay days from 2006 to 2018. He had an overall record of 125-77, better in the playoffs. 10-8 was his playoff record with the Green Bay Packers and obviously with Aaron Rodgers. What do you make of Mike McCarthy, Mr. Wiederer?
Right. It's a little bit of a surprise development. I say a little bit because obviously this was hinted at as the Cowboys let Mike McCarthy kind of twist in the wind with his contract expiring on the 14th, 13th day of January here in 2025. That said, this is a candidate you have to take a look at. Mike McCarthy in Dallas enjoyed three consecutive 12-win seasons. The Chicago Bears haven't had three consecutive winning seasons of any kind since the late 80s. This is a guy that obviously we know from his Green Bay days, has a long track record of heartbreaking postseason losses, but he also gets his team to the postseason, and he's developed quarterbacks, i.e. Aaron Rodgers, during his early days in Green Bay. So look, that's a name that has been on the Bears' radar. It's a guy that they had requested permission to talk to. The Cowboys did not grant that permission and now have no say in the matter because Mike McCarthy is a free agent and he's got the say on whether he comes and does an interview with the Bears either via Zoom or eventually in person, whatever that may turn out to be. But look, that's another name added to the list, or at least kept on the list after it was there about a week ago. And I think, Grody, I lose count. Like, I think we're up to 20 known names attached to this job in some way, shape, or form. I could be off by one or two, but I think we are up to 20 now.
Yeah, and I'll say the same thing that I've been saying about that the whole time. I mean, I'm not as outraged or, I guess, confounded the way I think a lot of people are with all. I mean, it is a lot of candidates. There is no doubt about that. 20 is a ton. But the Bears back themselves into this corner. And this is, you say it all the time, being that you know Kevin Warren better than just about anybody, Dan Weider. Kevin Warren is going to go big with what he does. So I don't think that this should be, I mean, quite honestly, Dan, you and I, you especially, should have predicted that this is what Kevin Warren would do. If he goes big, he goes grand. This is the biggest, I mean, he has talked about, and this is not a bad thing either. He has talked about this hiring like it's the biggest hire the Chicago Bears have ever made. And I actually think that's the right importance to attach to a position that has been very unfulfilling for the Bears for years and years and years. But it is a lot of appearances. It's a lot of bluster. It's probably unnecessary to have 20 candidates, as you said, Dan, but it should not be a surprise. And ultimately, in the end of all of this, I don't think the quantity of candidates will have hurt the Bears and whomever they hire.
We'll see, right? Like, we'll see if it overcomplicates the process in any way, shape, or form. If it does lead to situations where, you know, there are flaws revealed about the process. So one thing to remember, if you're interviewing 20 candidates, 19 of them will not get the job. And that leaves 19 people to let the rest of the league in on what was going on with your process.
That's good for us, Dan. That's good for us. Because one cool of those 19, you or I are going to have them in our phones.
So. Somebody will be able to shed some light on what was happening in this process. My worry all along is this is being thorough for thorough's sake, or do you actually think you are bettering yourself by being this thorough? If this is just give off an appearance that, hey, we're turning over every stone and look how hard we're working to get this right. We are going to do everything we can to get this, you know, consequential hire to succeed. Let's see, you know, because I do think there are complicating factors in the process. You and I have talked previously about the danger of talking to 20 people over Zoom. And by the time you get to interview number 15, you've forgotten what candidate number 4 told you. And so it all gets muddied and a little bit hazy and not as clear as you might like it to be. Look, like, I just hope that they can, one, get to the end of this process and reach the destination, which is to hire a successful, qualified head coach to take the Bears back to the postseason on a regular basis, which hasn't happened. And we'll see if they can make their way there. And look, like, I think there are a lot of questions around the league, whether this is the right way to do it. Ultimately, we'll judge all of this on who the final hire is and a little bit of how they got there. And so let's watch it unfold.
For the record, I do think that they are being thorough for being thorough's sake, unfortunately. I think that is the case. I mean, I'm sure along the way that with 20 candidates, they will collect some intel. They may learn something about themselves. They may learn something in general. But I've said all along, I do think it's for appearances. And last thing on Mike McCarthy, like, initial reaction is, yeah, that's a really successful head coach for the relative to head coaches in the NFL. It's a hard job. Somebody once said, I believe it was our friend Jeff Joniak, and I might have mentioned it on this podcast before, hiring NFL head coaches is the hardest thing to find in sports. And moreover, offensive coordinator, really hard to find a guy that you're going to keep in your organization for 10 years. So the fact that Mike McCarthy was able to do that for 12 years in Green Bay, that's something. That is something. All the winning, too. And also, relative to the other candidates, like, we're really talking about the most qualified candidates so far on the Bears list.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy, it is, and I mentioned this on the Fox show, Pete Carroll. And you and I have talked about him a ton. He probably is the most qualified if you are looking past the age part of Pete Carroll.
Neither of those guys allows you to dream at the uncertainty of what other candidates may be able to unlock that you haven't thought about yet. And I think that turns a lot of people off. You want the new person, the one that hasn't done it before. But I'm with you. Like, you can't argue with those resumes. And what wouldn't the city of Chicago pay right now to have a heartbreaking playoff loss? Because it would mean the regular season went pretty well and you weren't losing 70% of your regular season games, which the Bears have done the last three seasons under Ryan Poles' watch. One more thing to the thorough part of things. I would ask you this question. When was the first time, and you don't have to give me an exact date and time, but you can give me a ballpark. When was the first time that your brain processed the thought of Matty Eberflus being fired as Bears head coach?
I would say the Indianapolis game this year when the everything was breaking out at the end of that game. So I think probably right there was the first time that I thought about it.
I'm going to rewind my time machine 12 months earlier than that. We're going to go back to the the middle of the 23 season when everything was unraveling. The Bears were 0-4. Coaches were leaving the building under mysterious circumstances. A couple months later, they go to Cleveland and they lose a huge lead on the road in Cleveland. And we got to the end of that 2023 season saying, I don't know if this guy's the right guy for this job. And I bring that up because that is the time that if you are Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren, that you begin your list and you say, if we get to a point where we've got to let this guy go, who would we like to have in this job? And you should have a list that doesn't get to 20 after you talk to your respective contacts around the league and you talk and you vet it out and you sound out, okay, this guy's got what we want. This guy doesn't. You should be able to pare that down to 12, right? Like a dozen would still be pretty thorough and give you an opportunity to check boxes. You'd have offensive coach, a defensive coach, a non-specialist coach, an overseer that can do anything. You could have had your list pared down by the time you got to this point in the 2025 hiring cycle. And that's what worries me. It just feels like they're casting these wide nets. And it's like, well, shouldn't you have been able to get enough information on a lot of these guys beforehand to realize not now? You know, we talked the other night, there's a bunch of guys on this list that you could immediately hit the stamp and say not now to. So why haven't they said not now to some of these people? And what are they gaining by going this thorough?
Well, then I blame Kevin Warren for that because I think he was the only one that had an objective, clear vision in 2023 when the bleep was hitting the fan as well. We know that Ryan Poles was kind of dumbfounded by the idea that Matt Eberflus would be out after last year's season. So I think the only person with, again, that objective view, right or wrong, would have been Kevin Warren. So he probably should have been doing that. I mean, somebody had to, I mean, there were sacrifices made. Luke Getsy was the sacrifice after the, was it the 2023 season? Like, he was the sacrifice for that season. So I think that that has to be taken into account that Ryan Poles didn't see it. Ryan Poles didn't see it. And honestly, I have to be honest, I was with Ryan Poles, and I've said this a million times, that you probably had to keep Matt Eberflus going into this season just to not junk the guy because you put him through this terrible rebuild, or I guess he was allowed to rebuild the team. You had a 10-game losing streak and then a 7-9 season, and then you're not going to allow him to be part of the party, but it's not my job to evaluate the head coach.
You can allow him to be part of the party. What you have to be aware of is you might have to kick him out of the party at some point. And if you want somebody to replace him in the party, then you need to have that list at the ready. As it relates to the Cowboys, there's a couple things that come to my mind with what's happening there this week. And the first one is the Bears suddenly have to compete with Jerry Jones's checkbook if they are after similar candidates. If there's one guy that they're both trying to hire and get, well, Jerry might be able to dig a little bit deeper and get that candidate what he wants from a contractual standpoint. The Bears are still paying Matt Eberflus, obviously. They're still paying Shane Waldron. I believe Shane Waldron had $5 million left on his contract over the next two seasons that he's going to be paid. So you are going to have to make some financial decisions within this, and you may be competing with some pretty deep pockets to do so. The other part of this is, what if Jerry Jones is really, really, really enamored with Ben Johnson and says, hey, I want to get in that sweepstakes too. Why don't we give Ben a call? Now, all of a sudden, a guy that you've had high on your radar might be in danger of being plucked away in Dallas. Those two storylines that I just mentioned could marry up. It's just something to consider in a fluid month that, look, like, you're not doing this in a vacuum. Other teams, activities affect what you are trying to accomplish. And the Bears are just going to have to be aware of that and capable of reacting as some of these.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Things occur.
Ron Rivera, affectionately known as Chico, did interview with the Bears in person. For those of you who are just a little cloudy on the background of Ron Rivera, 9 years with the Bears as a linebacker. He was part of the 85 Bears. He was not a contributor for that, like a big contributor for the 85 Bears. He was not a starter. Two-time NFL Coach of the Year with the Carolina Panthers. He was the Bears defensive coordinator for a couple of years before Lovie Smith fired his ass. He in 9 years with Carolina, he was 76-63, 3-4 in the postseason. And like many coaches throughout the Daniel Snyder era, he was a failure and a flop in Washington. 26-40 was the record right there. My gut on Ron Rivera is that this was a courtesy to Ron Rivera and maybe placating a certain audience. It feels like public relations to me on the Ron Rivera. I don't know what you think about it, Dan, but that is the way I feel. Let's satisfy the people who want a former 80s Bear to be interviewed. I think it might be disingenuous on the Chico.
Well, what I think is funny is that I think that this fan base is so worn out by this point that the idea of reuniting with like an 80s Bear, you know, former Bear that is also was, as you mentioned, part of the 06 team. It's almost more off-putting than appealing to people because they're like, come on, like think forward, you know, aim for the future and stop trying to do this Doc Brown DeLorean back to the glory days that you once experienced. And so I don't know. I don't know where it stands with Ron Rivera. I do think that obviously you listed off some of the credentials. He's been to the Super Bowl a couple different times as a coordinator with the Bears, as a head coach in Carolina. He was part of the Cam Newton's early stages in Carolina, helped him become the rookie of the year and later the MVP in that 15-1 season. So there are skins on the wall. They asked me on 670 The Score on Monday afternoon, kind of what I thought of his candidacy for this particular job. And I said, hey, for me, like looking at that list, he's probably low B tier, high C tier, right? Like if we're starting to put this board together, this 20 player board, that's going to ultimately be bigger than the Bears draft board for April, 2025, you got to start segmenting and rank ordering it. And I think that's, it looked like from your nod, you agree that that's probably a low B, high C tier name on the current list.
Yeah. I don't even think he's a candidate, quite frankly. I mean, so I'll accept the B tier or the C tier. Let me ask you this while we're on this. Who is Ben Johnson? I mean, just looking through the names here, is he the only candidate at this point that would move the meters for everybody? Because don't they, because I mean, we laugh at the Drew Petzings of the world and the Anthony Weavers, and God bless them. Hopefully they will find their way to head coaching positions. But what did you say? Not now.
Yeah,
now.
Right. Yeah. Not here, not now. Right?
Like, I mean, who is it? Yeah. Like Aaron Glenn? Nah. I mean, I've heard great things about Aaron Glenn, but that doesn't move them. Pete Carroll. I love Pete Carroll. The 73-ness bugs me a little bit. We just talked about Ron Rivera. Is Ben Johnson the only one at this point that would make people happy?
I feel like Todd Monken might make people happy.
Okay, I'm with you on Todd. Yeah.
Joe Brady might turn a head or two just based on the success he's having in Buffalo. But I don't think there's nowhere near the buzz surrounding Joe Brady as there is Ben Johnson. And so, yeah, like I think that is your top of the A-list guy right now, you know, and you should be doing everything you can, obviously, to make a good impression. They had their virtual interview on Saturday with Ben Johnson. I hope they were forward with the answers they gave to Ben Johnson, and I hope they got back what they wanted to hear from Ben Johnson in terms of all the criteria that Ryan and Kevin listed a week ago in terms of things they're looking for in this head coach. I think to myself, Grody, that this hiring process could very easily end with an introductory press conference for Ben Johnson at Halas Hall. And all of a sudden, all this anxiety of January will turn back into that hope that Chicago's so used to feeling and getting hooked by that shiny lure and going, all right, let's do it again. I want to go win, and I want to go win big, and this guy can bring us there. So we'll see where that goes. That's the best case scenario, is that the Bears get to the end of all of this and they introduce Ben Johnson and everyone goes, wow, they did it. I can't believe they did it. We weren't expecting that. For me, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, the worst case scenario is Ben Johnson ultimately says, thanks, but no thanks. I'm happy in Detroit. I'm going to wait another year because I know I can have success here, and I'm going to wait for a job that feels like more of a sure thing to me, which would be the ultimate slap in the face of the Chicago Bears that they scared off the top candidate in this hiring cycle.
That truly would be worst case scenario. And I have to say, I don't think there's any way in hell Ben Johnson is staying at Detroit. I think it'd be really dumb of him, because we know how this works. I mean, not that if Detroit has a 7-10 season next year, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden he is out as a candidate, but he can only hurt his resume.
Yeah, his stock isn't going to be any higher than right now, right?
Never going to be any higher. I mean, that is for sure. Before we get on to, and by the way, we're going to talk about a certain college candidate here towards the end of the podcast as well. Just to give it a mention, Thomas Brown did interview with the Bears as well. Dan, I don't know if your feelings have changed anything on this. I think it's awesome that the guy is getting an interview. I think if nothing else, after having been force promoted and put in some weird places with the Bears, which you can debate whether he looks good or bad coming out of it, I like that he got an interview. I wish the best for him. I hope he surfaces someday as a head coach. I still think he clearly needs to prove himself as at least an offensive coordinator before that step occurs. But good for him, I guess, is my overall attitude on Thomas Brown.
Yeah, no doubt. And since you and I last recorded, Thomas Brown was also given an interview opportunity for the offensive coordinator job in Seattle. Mike McDonald, right, the coach out there, yep, is looking to replace that position on that side of the ball. And Thomas Brown got a look there. And so there will be opportunity here for Thomas Brown. I did say that Thomas Brown's interview with the Bears, not that he hasn't been having ongoing conversations with Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles, but it should be informative and it should illuminate some of the issues that he diagnosed from his perch during the 2024 season, understanding what went wrong with the quarterback, what went wrong with the offensive line, what went wrong with the play caller, what went wrong with the team at large. And you would think that his feedback would be very valuable to the people that are part of that interview panel. They should have their pens ready, or should have had their pens ready on Monday to document all of it and highlight it and get back behind closed doors and go, well, listen, like Thomas told us some very, 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 very informed opinions on what went wrong in 2024. It's up to us to filter through those and find out what we want to absorb, digest, and pass on to whoever it is that's going to be the next head coach here.
Let's get on to our next segment. Let's break down the wild card weekend. Yeah, it was a wild card weekend for sure. Some pretty decided victories, like Philadelphia over Green Bay, 22-10. Buffalo ran it up on Denver, 31-7. Houston over the Chargers, 32-12. Baltimore tramples Pittsburgh, 28-14. What stands out to you, Dan? Where do you want to start in any of these games for the wild card weekend?
I'll give you a quick thing to start with, and then we'll dive a little deeper on some of the other games. But Vic Fangio, right? Like, Vic Fangio is back at it. in Philly, and he's got that defense humming right now, and he sent the Green Bay Packers to the exits of the postseason. That illuminates two things for me. Number one, Vic Fangio is still one of the best defensive coordinators in this sport and continues to put his fingerprints all over winning products when given the opportunity to lead defenses that have the pieces that he wants. So that was impressive to watch. It also, for me, illuminates the idea of something that we've talked about regularly on this podcast while you were a host, before you were a host. Is Jordan Love any good? I'm still not sold. Jordan Love got hot at the end of the 2023 season. He got paid like he was a top-tier starter. I think he's one of these middle-of-the-road guys that's going to frustrate you as much as he teases you. And I think Green Bay Packers fans should be very worried because they lived 30 years with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre being stars at the most important position in the sport, and now they're left to stomach what life is like when your quarterback is markedly average. And I think Jordan Love is markedly average, and I think that frustration is going to build very fast for that fan base because they are not used to dealing with that.
Yeah, Jordan Love, 212 yards, three interceptions. One of them was kind of a prayer throw, but nonetheless, a couple of really bad picks in that game. And you're right about Vic Fangio, man. The dude is just straight up legit. You talk about a guy who is what he is. He's a great defensive coordinator. He tried it as a head coach, did not work. Kind of reminds me a little bit of, in different circumstances, like a Rod Marinelli, who was always a good defensive line coach, a good defensive coordinator, but just an awful, awful head coach because he was 0-16. I'm pretty comfortable saying that about Rod Marinelli. But Green Bay is out, so the NFC North is down a team. Washington, Dan, that's another interesting one. Beating Tampa Bay 23-20. Jaden Daniels has been doing it all year, 268 yards and two touchdowns. I'll be very interested already to see what Jaden Daniels' second year is like. Is he this guy who has been so impressive? And part of why I'm so impressed with him is because he did go through a period of time this year where he struggled.
Yeah.
And he got it back on, and he got it back on at the right time. The poise with which he plays, even with the offensive line breaking down plenty for the Commanders in that win over Tampa Bay. I can't say enough good things about Jaden Daniels, which I know kills Bears fans because Jaden Daniels was better than Caleb Williams this year. There's no
right
doubt
now.
About it.
There's no question about
right
it.
Right now. Yep. That's a good distinction.
And yeah, right. Like, and right now, and we'll say it two or three times right now, because there's a lot more to play out in these stories. What we will 100% rubber stamp is that Jaden Daniels doesn't shrivel in game on the line moments, right? Like, he's got four game winning drives during the regular season. He adds one in his first playoff start. He shows you on that final drive that he's capable of doing several things. Number one, start the drive with a profit. Very easy completion, get it going. Then you get a third and six trust throw that you rip for a first down to keep that drive going. And Jaden Daniels continues to put the Commanders in position to win football games. And then you get the third and two at the end where, you know, they're already in field goal range. And if you're stopped there, you still kick the field goal and take the lead, and you give Baker, you know, about 50 seconds or so to respond. Instead, he gets out on the edge on a designed run and uses that playmaking flair and dives for the first down, which allows the Commanders to drain the rest of the clock and kick the field goal as time expires. By the way, I'm sure you were watching that field goal hit the upright.
Doink, doink.
Single doink goes in. Not as painful for the Commanders as the double doink was for the Bears, but it tells you a little something about Jaden Daniels' moxie. It's been present all year long. I think I saw a tweet, and I actually retweeted the video of it on Monday afternoon. The Commanders' last five victories have all come on the final play of the game. And so you talk about a team that's living that magic right now. They are there, but their next stop, Ford Field.
Yeah. That's going to be an interesting one for sure. Washington at Detroit. The next game here we should go through is Buffalo just taking down Denver 31-7. After early in that game, you had the big throw by Bo Nix, the fake play called by Sean Payton. You're thinking, oh man, could Denver's going to do what they have to do to beat the better team today? And they just stopped and stalled, and Buffalo is just better. Bo Nix, 144 yards and a TD. Josh Allen, 270 and a couple of TDs, and Buffalo will host Baltimore next.
Well, let's start there because let me clear out my calendar for that football game. Like, that is the one I want to watch on divisional weekend, because you talk about the two MVP front runners in Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson going head to head with two teams that very easily could be the last one standing when the Super Bowl is finished. Excited as heck that that matchup materialized. And I think either one of those teams that wins has an opportunity to take down Kansas City when the conference championship rolls around. I do think when you talk about the Broncos, they had the kind of season that Bears fans were hoping was possible here in Chicago. You have a rookie quarterback who showed noticeable growth in his first season. They got to play a lot of meaningful football games that help you up the road. And that's the thing you and I talked about late in the season for the Bears. When you remove yourself so early from the playoff picture, you deprive yourself and your team the opportunity to be in those moments and to gain that experience in those moments where it's like, everything's riding on this, you know, and that's great for a young quarterback like Bo Nix. It's great for a developing team like the Broncos. It would have been great for Caleb Williams and the Bears had they been able to do it. And so you look at the Broncos season, even with a opening round loss, with a little bit of envy at what they were able to experience this year, that will help them on their build.
Yeah, Baltimore, Buffalo, like you said, is going to be a blast. Baltimore beats Pittsburgh 28-14. Derrick Henry, murder, 186 and two TDs in that game. Man, you talk about a great signing for Baltimore. And then Houston beat the Chargers 32-12. CJ Stroud, he's back, 282 and a TD, and Herbert with four picks in the game. Yikes. Anything you want to jump on either of those two games, Dan?
Well, really quickly on the Ravens. Number one, that offense is humming right now. That's why I think that they can be the team that wins it all right now. Todd Monken has done absolutely terrific stuff with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson in the regular season, over 5,000 total yards. I think he had like 41 touchdowns and five picks, right? Like, that's really, really, really good stuff from the Ravens quarterback. And then you pair him with Derrick Henry, and that was clearly a run generated win over the weekend, where I think they had 299 rushing in that football game, which tells you a little bit about the ability to marry yourself to a running game, which Bears coaches always promise and rarely deliver on. And so it does help when you have a back like Derrick Henry to do that. They ran him out of the Wildcat with Lamar Jackson in motion at one point, and you go, okay, how is the defense supposed to deal with that? I'll ask you this, Grody, because there's sometimes Derrick Henry's running the football, and you're like, this doesn't even look like real life. This looks like some bad video game, because he's just such a massive
monster,
human,
right,
taking people over. Right, have you ever watched the YouTube highlights of Vita Vea as a high school running back?
Oh yeah, yes.
That's what some of Derrick
Henry's were surfacing. Yeah,
that's what some of Derrick Henry's runs remind me of. Like Vita Vea. Anybody that hasn't watched in our audience, go to YouTube when this episode is done. Watch Vita Vea high school running back highlights. It is like, you know, it's like when you were a kid playing Punch Out and Little Mac had to go play against Mike Tyson. You know, like the size of Vita Vea running wild on these guys. You're like, there's no where you can stop that.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry feels like that at sometimes. This is an NFL running back playing against paid professionals and just absolutely plowing them over in ways that you would never imagine possible.
It's awesome to watch really large men be that athletic. It reminds me of like Cam Newton, who like, that's a monstrous man running his ass off at his peak. Dante Culpepper back in the day. I mean, big men running is something, and usually those guys don't last long. But Derrick Henry, man, you talk about a great second act for that guy. It's awesome to watch.
No question. And they'll take their act to Buffalo, you know. Amen. And man, like, I can't wait.
Yep. Let's get to our 2-minute drill.
The 2-minute drill.
The 2-minute drill.
Something here. You did construct our itinerary, just a rough draft that we'd like to pick off of here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I noticed that you put Marcus Freeman in the third segment. That says to me you don't like Marcus Freeman. Why? Why didn't you want to talk about him at the very top of the show? What's going on here, man?
We had a lot to get to. It doesn't feel super realistic to me. Marcus Freeman feels like he's in his dream spot right now. He's making a ton of money in a place where he's positioned to win every season. He's young enough to not be sort of bitter at the changing landscape of college sports and the NIL and the transfer portal and all the things you have to navigate. I don't know why Marcus Freeman would leave right now. He's obviously preparing his football team to play in a national championship game next next week, and he doesn't feel like the type of guy that has had like NFL or bust aspirations in his career. So look, like the Bears can be interested in him, but if that interest is not reciprocated, I don't think it's going to go very far. My hunch is that Marcus Freeman has really no reason to uproot what is a very promising moment in his professional life to clean up the mess at Hell Cell.
I do understand completely, 100% without gray area. I understand the temptation from the Bears. He presents so well in terms of being, and it's easier, I should say, for college coaches to show and present leader of men, because you have the complete control and attention of those players because you recruited them and they wanted to go to Notre Dame. So that appearance is easy to come off, watching him on the sidelines, listening to him being interviewed. It doesn't hurt that the man is really good looking. He presents well. So I get it. For the record, I'd be nervous about it because of the lack of experience, because it all seems good from the outside. This is one of those cases where you do have to look inside. And for whatever it's worth, he does come from the defensive background. I don't know that that matters in terms of being a leader of men, but what does he know about developing Caleb Williams? That's the part I don't know.
No question. So sticking Marcus Freeman in the 2-minute drill of this episode is not a knock at Marcus Freeman. It's sort of an acknowledgement that the Bears probably don't have a realistic shot of getting him. Maybe we're wrong in a few weeks and we're standing up there at the Mugs Palace Auditorium introducing ourselves to old Marcus.
You're covered, Dan. Don't worry. Dan, I'm sorry to have blamed you for talking about him late, but I think you're okay. You're good. Couple other things here in the 2-minute drill. Ian Cunningham interviewing with Tennessee, which I guess is good for him, but you talk about a guy who is not coming from a position of strength considering what these 3 years have been with Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham.
He was a finalist for that very same job a couple years ago when Rand Carthon was ultimately hired. And so you would imagine that the Titans saw enough to circle back with Ian Cunningham. He is, I think at this point, one of six known candidates to have interviewed for that job virtually. This is their first round interviews. They will probably transition into in-person interviews up the road. If Ian Cunningham is part of that in-person round, then he has a legitimate chance of getting that job. Note as it relates to the Bears, if Ian Cunningham is hired by the Titans or anywhere else, the Bears will receive 2 third-round compensatory picks for having had him in their building and developing him into a general manager who goes elsewhere. One would be for the season he gets hired, and the one would be for the following year. And so there would be rewards to the Bears if they ultimately lost Ian Cunningham this spring. And so we'll keep eyes on that Tennessee job as well.
Anything else on your notepad for the 2-minute drill here, Dan?
Two quick things. Number one, the Patriots have finalized the hiring of Mike Vrabel. That takes somebody that the Bears spoke to off the list, cross that off, and then the ripple effect occurs because now everybody else that was involved with that job has to turn their attention elsewhere. That's worth noting. Also want to give a shout out to the 6th grade GBS White Junior Titans basketball team. My son and his boys won the Deerfield tournament over the weekend. And Coach David Crater, Grody, you want to add another name to the list? This dude's got 6th graders believing in the power of defense. I've never seen 6th grade basketball teams invest in defense like this group is doing right now. They opened the championship game on Sunday afternoon on an 18-0 run, just put the clamps down on poor Rolling Meadows, and on they rolled to a championship. So that was fun to watch.
Real quick, what kind of a sports dad are you? Do you get mad at refs? Do you yell? Do you have little chats?
this is not a question for the 2-minute drill.
Oh wow! Does the Weeder or Red Ass come out a little bit?
I don't yell at officials. I've probably raised my voice at an umpire or two because I do coach the baseball. That's a loaded question. It's a loaded question, but I'm into it. I'm passionate. Let's just say that I'm very passionate about the youth sports scene, but it's all for the best. It's all for the growth and the competitive nature of things. And I will tell you this, that
this is for the growth of my kids and for all the other kids.
As we tie this into the Bears, like coaching matters. And I say this with another shout of approval for the job that David Crater is doing with the 6th grade junior Titans team, because these kids are believing in what they're being taught. And it's really cool when you see that happen.
Awesome. Well, congrats. What's your son's name again?
Ryan
Weeder. Congratulations, Ryan. You're awesome, man. Look forward to meeting Ryan someday, man. He sounds like he's great. Last thing, Studs, Adam Szczesinski, our producer, has put the word survey in the chat. Yeah. Dan, since you're more educated on the survey than I, tell us about the survey and if Studs needs to jump in here on the survey. This is important, right? Because this is for the people who watch and listen to the podcast.
There's no question. And Studs will come back in here in a minute and give us the address just so I don't get it wrong, because I think I've got it committed to memory, but he'll know better than I. I will say this, that we have already gotten a flood of survey responses, which is truly, truly encouraging. We are using this survey of Take the North to our loyal podcast listeners to better ourselves, to hear what people want more of, what they want less of, how they think we're doing, how we can be doing better. It's a pretty comprehensive survey. And guess what, Grody? There's a reward at the end, because if you take this survey, this new really fancy Take the North merch that's out there, hoodies, t-shirts, everything else that you can imagine, is available to you for a discount. And you only get that discount code if you complete the survey. So a little incentive to take the survey. But the ultimate goal here is to help us be better with this podcast, to continue growing it. As you know, our audience has been awesome. They keep growing. They keep providing good feedback. And we take that feedback. We're not averse to criticism or constructive criticism. So keep it coming. Use that survey to bring it, and hopefully you can go rep some of these Take the North gear that we've got out there. Studs, you got the address handy for us?
Yeah. So the address for the survey is tinyurl.com/TTNpod. So again, that's tinyurl.com/TTNpod, or the link for the survey will be in the description of this episode, whether you're on YouTube or on the Odyssey app or any of the podcast platforms. You can just click on it there. We will also have the link for the merch store in the description for ease of access there as well.
Awesome stuff.
I love a good tiny URL. Thank you, Studs. Appreciate everybody for listening and watching. As Dan said, I will second it, man. I appreciate it. And sometimes I'm overwhelmed by how many people are participating, viewing, and listening to this podcast that you and Hall built. And it's just fantastic to be here. For Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune, for the guy who you just saw pop in with his tiny URL, that was Adam Szczesinski, our executive producer. I am Mark Grody. Thank you for watching and listening to the Take the North podcast.
He's always popping in with his tiny URL. Great talk to you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.